Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, recent permits give a glimpse of what's coming to the resort, early access changes.
Scaffolding is everywhere, the Haunted Mansion queue is unrecognizable. We talk about the unofficial events for 2024 and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 24th, 2024. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tig Bushman. We'd like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, we'd like to give a special shout out to Andra K., Ray A., Michael C., and Kavehi S. If you would like to help support the show and make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. Well, there is a lot going on at the Disneyland Resort if recent permits are any indication. The biggest change will be new entrance turnstiles at both parks listed as, quote, automatic guest entry gates, fixed manual gates, removable railings, and new overhead shrouds, end quote. These could be similar to the ones that are used in Disneyland Paris. There's also a permit for replacing the pipes running to the geyser at the Grizzly River Run attraction.
So we talked about this on our stream a little bit the other night. Teresa thought for sure that I was going to think this, and I did. When I first saw the permit, I was like, oh, does this mean that they're going to permanently make a security screening thing and not have like the more temporary looking like tents? No. This is the turnstiles where you scan your ticket and go in. Mm-hmm. I will say I wonder if with this they'll bring back the little whistling, because that would be awesome.
Maybe.
But no, this is going to replace the turnstiles at both parks to enter California Adventure and Disneyland. And I remember going to Paris, and I really liked their system. They had a nice little system. You'd scan your thing.
It would turn green. You self-scan more so than having the cast member scan for you.
But in the thing that I was reading, it said something about that a cast member will scan and validate your ticket. Scott Gustin, who always seems to have all this information, said that it should be similar to that. I don't know. I think it's... I am cautiously optimistic that this will make entering the parks easier for a lot of people and more smooth for everybody.
Hopefully. In other news with the geyser, I joked at Tag, I said, I think it's okay that can stay broken because we had quite the run-in with that geyser at Grizzly River Run where we were, drenched. We would have
But yeah, that's why you go on it.
You're less soaked coming out of the shower than what we were coming off of Grizzly River Run because of that geyser. So I jokingly said, oh, that's okay. It can stay not, up to its full potential. That's fine. But it is a fun. I like the geyser visually. I think it's cool if it just goes on and off in between the boats. I was not a fan of the geyser when it went off, as we were going over it. So then it just buckets of water just right into our raft and on our heads.
I don't know. You're absolutely right, though. I feel like we would have been drier if we would have just jumped into the water.
It was crazy. It was like intense. That.
But I'm glad it's getting repaired. And what do you think about the entrance gates?
I'm hesitant. Now that you just pointed out that Scott was saying that it's still a cast member scanning, I was under the impression that it'd be self-scan with cast members there. So if you were either new, and you needed your photo taken or there was some sort of issue, they'd kind of be on hand. So I thought that would help with making things a little bit quicker because you don't have to get their, they don't have to get their scanner lined up just right with your screen and, that kind of thing. But as long as it makes it a little bit more efficient, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I do think this will help with things like strollers or people that are in wheelchairs. I think this will help make their entry into the park a little smoother because now a cast member has to get up off their seat to manually open a gate to let them in. So I'm hoping that it'll be a little smoother and easier for that as well.
I also hope that this will allow them to do things like make an annual pass holder entrance.
Maybe.
Like a magic key holder entrance that they already know how to scan in. They already have a photo on file so they can just more quickly get in as opposed to the people. I always feel like we always get behind the people who are on a day ticket and they are there for their first day of the trip, and it's their whole family, and they have to do all the photos. So it'd be nice to kind of have something where you could kind of more expeditiously get into the park if you have all of that squared away already, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Well, a friendly reminder that early entry has changed for Disneyland as of January 20th. Guests will now have 30-minute early access to either Disneyland or Disney California Adventure, depending on the day, and will not have access to both on the same day. Also, not every attraction will be available during this time. Check the link in our show notes for all the details.
Yeah, so this makes it a little interesting, because the one nice thing was, okay, so pre-park shutdown, early entrance was, it was an hour, and it was, it varied. So it was either Disneyland or DCA. They didn't always have both parks open. Well, when it came back, they introduced it being a shorter period of time, but both parks were open for that 30-minute window early instead of one or the other, which is great, especially because of those lovely things. We still have reservations, because now you got to make sure that your reservation is lining up with the early entry park. So that's going to make it a little, just, you know, another layer to kind of think about. But yeah, you're going to have to make sure that your park reservation lines up with your early entry park, I guess would be the way of saying that. So another thing to think about if you're a guest at one of the hotels that are going to be utilizing it. But on the flip side, if you are just a a non-Disney hotel guest not utilizing the 30-minute entry, you might want to keep that in mind, and maybe it's in your interest to start at the opposite park.
Sure.
So
there's not already like a existing line when you get in. Yeah, I wish that they would bring back like an hour. Like, I think the benefit would be more substantial if it was an hour early entry.
You know what? We can't complain too much, because I was watching Ordinary Adventures video. They just went to Tokyo. And theirs is only, it's like 15 minutes.
Oh.
It is a priority lane that you like get to enter the park through.
But see, 15 minutes is like, what's even the point?
Well, it's that you get in, and it's you get inside 15 minutes early, but the rides are not open. So basically you get to, that 15 minutes allows you to be one of the first in the line for when the attraction opens at park opening. So we could have that.
I suppose.
We could have that. So I just want this is better than that.
I want the old timey stuff where it was like an hour.
Sure. Well, the left side of the entrance of Disneyland is under a lot of scaffolding at the moment. The City Hall complex that includes the fire department and restrooms, along with the lost and found lockers and restrooms in the Esplanade, are all getting refurbished. They are not the only places in the park, as the Mark Twain, Astro Orbiter, Stage Door Cafe, Hyperion Theater, Grizzly Peak Facilities, and Grizzly River Run. Finally, the Grand Californian Hotel Lobby, all of these locations are seeing updates, so there is scaffolding and scrims everywhere. However, most of these things, not the Mark Twain, not the Astro Orbiter, but most of these things are still open.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like we go through these like spurts of lots of refurbishment. Mm-hmm. And of course, we love to see that. We want to make sure everything is, you know, tip top shape and everything like that. So it's good that this stuff is getting done. I did laugh because the article that we have linked in the show notes from Mice Chat had photos of all of this on like the rainy Saturday. Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't think they're doing much work on the rainy day to get any of this stuff refurbished, but I hope they do get it done soon. Did you see also, we didn't report on it separately, but the Mark Twain, they've extended the refurbishment by about a week. Mm-hmm. You know, the Astro Orbiter looks like it's slowly starting to come back together.
There, I felt bad. I was seeing a lot of chatter online that people thought the Astro Orbiter was being removed. Like, they thought it was a permanent removal. No.
Were they happy or not happy?
I don't think they were saying which.
Okay.
Or if they did, it was both. Some happy, some not happy. But yeah, no, so the Astro Orbiter is going through a major, I feel like it feels and looks like a major refurbishment, but really what they're doing is, I think it's like they're repainting it, but they have to dismantle the entire thing down to practically the ground. So it's very weird because, yeah, the Astro Orbiter just isn't there right now because it's off-site being worked on, but don't fret, it will be back. This is a routine thing that they're doing, and it will be built back up, so all the little planets and little rocket cars are spinning once again.
So we are cursed for at least another couple years of the Astro Orbiter. Sure. We get the front of Coraline.
However you want it. Yeah, some people think it's a curse, some blessing.
I think it should go back up onto the building.
I do like the kinetic energy.
I do too, but I wish it was back up on top of the tower and not at the entrance.
There's a lot of things I wish for Tomorrowland. That's
maybe D23, they'll announce
maybe.
It.
Maybe. There's a lot of things I wish for Tomorrowland. The Astro Orbiter, I think, is lower on the list I want them to take care of.
That when August comes around, it will have been 2 years since I swore they were going to make a Tomorrowland announcement. And yet, 2 years on, we still do not have a Tomorrowland announcement.
That's true. That's very true.
Construction on the Haunted Mansion extended queue is in full swing at Disneyland. The switchback behind the Pet Cemetery has been completely leveled to make way for updates. Work has yet to begin on the new carriage house at the exit of the attraction, however.
This is wild. If you haven't yet, you need to check the link in our show notes to see photos of this, because it's almost like there's a couple of things that are still there that make you kind of get your bearings to know what it is that you're looking at, but they bulldozed it all. There is a wall of like construction. Well, now it's definitely intentional. The secret entrance, the one that they had opened during when the parks reopened, that was that like side door entrance that you walked past the funny or the punny crypts and went in. What did we call it? The servants' entrance?
The servants' quarters
or something like that. Yeah. Is like buried. There is so much. They have a bunch of like gravel and stuff piled up on it. The punny crypts have all been taken down.
They've cut down some trees.
Cut down some trees. The wall in between the queue and where the old FastPass distribution center gone. It's wild. Like we're talking about this on the stream. It breaks my heart a little bit to see this. Because this is almost like this, like...
It's going to be so much better, though.
It is, but it's also like, this is so, like such a drastic thing that normally we don't get to see this level of them taking things apart that are, like, beloved. So it's just, it's wild. But the Haunted Mansion was still open, allowing guests through when they started on this bulldoze extravaganza. It is closed now for its normal refurbishment. Still no word on how long any of this is going to take. There are rumors out there that it's going to be all year. Some people don't there's some people thinking Haunted Mansion Holiday is what we'll see back in August. Some people don't even know if we're going to be able to see anything from the Haunted Mansion this year. I'm probably one of the minorities that think the regular version will open up and we'll just have a very funky queue in the meantime. But time will tell.
Do you see, I never noticed this in the concept art before that I clicked on. Do you see there's like, it looks like another like Pet Cemetery section here? That looks pretty cool.
I did notice that.
I'm excited to see what it turns out because I feel like a lot of times with concept art, stuff that looks one way ends up looking differently. Yeah. And some things that we thought would be really cool are don't show up, but then things that we didn't like that aren't in the concept art show up and they're really cool. So I'm excited to see like what the end result of all this is.
Yeah, I'm really curious because for me, the concept art of the other side where the carriage house is going to be, like looking at the concept art for the carriage house, but then looking again at the space that actually is, the carriage house looks much more big and grand than what I feel that space will allow. So I'm very curious how that's going to turn out to be.
Yeah, I'm excited for the carriage house a lot. I think that's going to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. They haven't started on that yet, so no. I'm interested to see like when that gets going, because that's gonna, I feel like building a brand new building seems to me like it should take longer than like a queue.
Yeah, well, but the thing too is if you look at the concept art, they could have the area, I feel maybe it'd be tight, it almost appears that they could be working on the carriage house while having the exit still open for guest flow. Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit of a pinch, but it's possible that could, because you don't actually exit through the carriage house. The exit is still like you're exiting through, I don't know, like a tomb or a crypt, and the carriage house is just next to that. It's to the side. So I'm very curious. I do think, I don't know, the only thing that I'm very worried about is, because I'm a Haunted Mansion freak, I'm worried about the Pet Cemetery behind that is like no longer even on stage, and us guests aren't even allowed to go back there.
What happens if they move it? What happens if they move it to the mountain, the hill?
Maybe they will. But yeah, there is still the original Pet Cemetery is still back kind of behind the exit. So part of me is really thinking that that's probably has limited days because maybe they're going to utilize that for either more kind of like storage stuff for the carriage house, or maybe the carriage house will extend back into that area. But yeah.
I didn't realize you were going to go on some multi-minute
come on now, it's the haunted mansion. What are you thinking? Of course I was going to go on a
I suppose. A thing. I'm excited that this should hopefully, fingers crossed, be completed this year, and that we'll get to see it completed and done sooner rather than later.
One more thing before we fully move on. There's also some rumors that it's not just the exterior of the Haunted Mansion that's going to be getting some updates. There are rumors that some of the interior scenes might be getting updates too. Specifically, what I've been, again, rumors, nothing confirmed by Disney. What we've been seeing is there's thoughts that the graveyard scene might get some TLC and some updates, which...
That could be cool.
I'm like thinking to myself, like, ooh, which restless spirit maybe looks like it could use a little help. I can't think of anything. Like, I don't know. I think it's charming as it is. The other part, too, is there's some talk that the hitchhiking ghosts at the end might not be physical props anymore. The ones that are in your, that you can see in your buggy with you.
Which those some people might have not said that they're physical, in favor of this.
Yeah, might not be physical props anymore because Walt Disney World, those are like, they're digital. Mm. But they were talking about something about how it'd be digital, but could interact with guests. I don't know. I don't know if this is coming, like if there's an actual legit source that this is coming from, or if this is all just,
sure,
you know, people chattering. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what all happens. Some updates have been installed for the projections on the Sleeping Beauty Castle. New projectors in larger decorative housings have been installed. The new housings are much larger than the previous ones and are more noticeable.
So this was kind of a surprise. I saw this pop up. I believe one of the social media things I saw, it popped up and I was like, oh, I didn't know that we were going to update the projections for the castle. That's interesting.
It's exciting, is what it is.
And they're very vividly painted to match the castle. Mm-hmm. But I think because the castle and everything has had sun that has, you know, faded it a little bit since the beginning, I feel like it's one of those things where it looks a little bit more vivid than I guess I would have expected, especially like the like tan parts of the thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm sure just like everything else, as it like... it'll blend in. Yeah. It'll start to blend into the background.
The thing that's funny to me is the old projectors had these little critters on there. There was little owls. Mm-hmm. Or I thought, for some reason, I was thinking there was a squirrel. I could have made that up. But they had little critters sitting atop them, which the previous ones, I don't know, the little critters, they just fit in. These ones, though, you can tell the scale of how large these projector boxes are because the critters look tiny, like they look like just itty bitty compared to this projector box. So I'm interested to see what these look like in person.
You know what it is? It's the fact that.
But look at the owl compared to what it looks like.
Yeah,
now.
But if you look at two, it's because the corners have the, like, if they would have just made it brick.
Oh, sure.
I think that it's this, like, lit up. I don't know. It's the border that's throwing me, I think.
I don't know, but I'm saying, look at the owl figurine on the old ones. Look at how,
oh, yeah,
you know, that the scale, like, the comparison there versus the new one.
I get what you're saying,
that's,
for sure.
That's what made me go, whoa, because of how tiny the owl now looks. Look at that.
Oh, that is so much smaller. Yeah.
But you're right. I don't think the borders or the edging around the box itself
help. But see, even the borders that they had before, like, see, it was like more muted. This just seems very vivid.
Sure.
Compared to the old thing.
You're also looking.
I'm also looking at the old. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Old paint job. But yeah.
I'm sure that just like everything else, we will forget about it and it'll blend right in and we won't notice it.
It's one of those things that when you see a picture of just the projector box, it looks pretty like, whoa.
But did they even install this?
When you're there, I'm sure it's not going to jump out quite as much.
But when did they even install this? Was this recent?
Yeah, recently.
Interesting. Okay. Well, for the 2024 Lunar New Year celebration, there are some changes to the Sip and Savor Pass. I'm actually very excited about this. Mm-hmm. This year, guests can get a scannable pass that they can use along with a four-digit code at the marketplaces to use the pass. So basically, it's the same plastic thing, mm-hmm. but instead of having the tabs you have to break off, they can scan it, you provide the code, and they electronically keep track of how many times you've used it.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Why have they not done this before?
I don't know.
I feel like this is pretty simple, like not a very overly complicated technology kind of a thing. My question is,
why didn't they just add it to the app and then they could scan the thing on the app? You don't even need the lanyard.
I don't know.
Maybe that's coming.
That's the next step. I get it, because the nice thing with the tabs is I could just look down and see, oh, I've got
two left, or whatever.
But the not so nice thing about the tabs was you had to make sure that they didn't come off of your lanyard before you went to use them, because you had to rip it off the lanyard in front of the cast member and hand it to them per the rules. Now, were some cast members a little bit nicer? Yes, but the rules were so, like, what if you're on an attraction and I don't know, get snagged on something, and or you exit, maybe one falls off, or I don't know, but this just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Again, I'm surprised it took this long for this transition, but yeah. I'm excited to see how it works in real festival life.
I'm looking at one of the photos here, and they have the to redeem a digital coupon, present the Sip and Savor Pass at participating festival marketplace or restaurant location. A cast member will scan the barcode on this Sip and Savor Pass, and you will be asked to enter the four-digit code located on the pass at the point of sale to receive one eligible food or non-alcoholic beverage item offered at the location in exchange for one digital coupon. The remaining number of digital coupons on this pass will be printed on the order transaction receipt. So that's how you got to keep track of it now.
Okay.
You may also ask a cast member at any festival marketplace to scan the pass to confirm the number of digital coupons remaining on the pass. Limit one per digital coupon, excludes alcoholic beverages, blah, blah, blah. I like this idea.
Yeah, I think it's very smart.
I'm excited. We won't see it, but I'm excited.
well, we may see it, because this might just be the first festival at the Disneyland Resort.
We won't see this incarnation.
Yeah, we won't see this specific one. But yeah, I'm really excited and interested to see how it works in like actual use. Well, with Lunar New Year starting soon, there is a new meet and greet coming to the event. Maylin Lee and her mom, Ming Lee, from Turning Red, will be greeting guests throughout the festival from January 23rd through February 18th. And today was the first day of the festival as we record this. Second day, I can't remember. But the actual characters, there's photos of the actual characters, and they look so... Okay, I'll let you say it. I'll tell you what I think later.
It was interesting because I literally just noticed this. That she's got a tail. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the ears, but the tail. I'm sure it's great. There's something about the photos that I've seen of Maylin's character, that there's something about the cast member friend of Maylin who there's just something, I don't know, weird, but I guess it matches the character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's an interesting character. Like, Maylin's an interesting character energy to try and embody. But I actually like all the photos. This is going to sound ridiculous. All the photos, these cast members, in my opinion, are doing a great job, because Maylin is kind of like awkward and energetic all at the same time, like wrapped into a ball.
Yeah.
But her mom, Ming, is... I find her kind of scary and intimidating.
She's supposed to be very
serious. So, yeah, kudos to both of those cast members. From what I've seen, they look fun. I look forward to seeing more videos and more interactions with them. But, yeah, that my first instinct is like, ooh.
And we didn't say it, but the meet and greet is over in the San Francisco street between Little Mermaid and like Grizzly River Run area, where they had done like
Nick and Judy Hopps have done meet and greets over there. But yeah, this is really interesting to me, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking this is the first time Ming has done a meet and greet in the park, and this is the first time that we've had the human version of Mei Ling meeting and greeting in the park. We've had Panda May before, but I think this is the first time.
Do we have Panda May here?
No, not here.
It was like in Tokyo or Hong Kong or Shanghai.
One of the foreign parks.
Maybe it was Shanghai. I just remember seeing the video, and I thought Panda May was amazing.
We have seen a teaser that Panda May is coming for Pixar Fest, because there is a Turning Red themed float, and it looks like Panda May will be part of that float.
Okay, now that I'm watching the video clip that's linked in our show notes, or will be linked in our show notes, I'm like, okay, yes, she... When I see the movement of the characters, I'm like, yep, yep, this is Mei Lin and her mom, 100%.
Yeah.
It was just the photos that were strange. You know, sometimes you catch people in weird photos.
Yep.
All right, well, there are some entertainment characters that have been revealed for the Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night that is taking place not even too long from now, actually. There's a ton, obviously. There's Cinderella and Prince Charming and Jasmine and Aladdin. Like, all the couples, right, are all there. Of course, Drizella and Anastasia.
Yes, yes. But, like, there's some people that are rare characters.
Yeah.
Like the Grand Duke.
Mm-hmm. Who's the Grand Duke?
The Grand Duke from Cinderella.
Oh, okay.
He's the one with the monocle.
Oh, he'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Main Street USA, Mickey Mouse and Minnie, of course. Daisy Duck and Donald. Oh, and then Mary Poppins and Bert.
Big Al from Critic Country. I'm not like, sure just what, by himself. Yeah,
poor Big Al doesn't have a Valentine, apparently.
Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde.
Now, these next ones I'm very excited about. Okay. So Fantasyland, we've got Ariel and Prince Eric, Belle, the Beast, and Gaston. But we've got Esmeralda and Phoebus. When was the last time we saw them in a park?
A long time.
Same with Flick and Atta from Bug's Life, Mulan and Shang, Peter Pan and Wendy, Snow White and the Prince. But the three in the middle I was very excited about, because those are not your normal day-to-day characters that you get to see.
New Orleans Square, we got Clarabelle Cow and Horace Horse Collar and Princess Tiana and Prince Naveen. And then Tomorrowland, we brought back the space couple that was there for... There was some other event that they were there for, wasn't it?
Maybe Throwback
Night? Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Chippendale?
No. Throwback Night. Maybe it was Throwback Night. Throwback Night for sure had mother and father. I think maybe the space couple was there for Throwback Night, too.
Chippendale and Clarice and Mickey's Toontown. Of course, Indiana Jones and Marion in Adventureland. Yes,
that sounds like, I think this is a first for Marion to be at meeting and greeting at the parks.
Very exciting. Galaxy's Edge, Chewbacca and Rey, and then Stormtroopers.
They're just each other's Valentines, okay? And then for entertainment, there's going to be a Sweethearts Nights Royal Cavalcade, which will feature Cinderella, Prince Charming, Disney friends, and royal fanfare dancers. They're going to make their way through Disneyland Park from Main Street to It's a Small World. And then all of the Disney couples will gather for the Royal Ball after the Cavalcade. So then we've got the Royal Ball, which you get to dance the night away with the Disney princesses and princes at the Elegant event.
This sounds amazing. There's, the Polynesian duo at the Tropical Hideaway. They have live music in the Heart of Adventure. I'm like, is this going to basically turn it back into the Polynesian or whatever? What was it? It was the Tagaroa. No.
Tahitian Terrace.
Tahitian Terrace, where it was all dancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Our Love is Out of This World dance party at Tomorrowland, where Stitch and Angel will be there throughout the night. Obviously, there's going to be projections on Main Street and Sleeping Beauty Castle, and It's a Small World.
This also sounds super fun. The Lou Ray Jazz Club. So you can swing dance or simply sit back and enjoy the sound of jazz music as gentle breezes flow from the river, as well as the Mariachi Divas Amor. The roaming group will travel throughout the park to share traditional Mexican love song and mariachi music.
And then a piano player, of course, at the Golden Horseshoe that will regale you with famous Disney
love songs. I mean, come on. The entertainment offerings alone for this. How fun. And it's not like entertainment offerings that you have to, I don't know, wait in line to go experience. It sounds like it's a lot of atmosphere kind of entertainment stuff. So it's, you can either walk by and enjoy it, or you can like hang out.
That's what they should have done for Star Wars Night.
Yes. Well, the Cantina Band was at Star Wars Night. However, our Star Wars Night, it was kind of soggy. So the Cantina Band was not out for ours.
But I feel like you and Vern should have gone to this, because the Up House is going to be in Town Square.
Yes. Photo themes and locations, which these are like, first of all, so many. And like a lot of like ones that we've seen at different things, or maybe things that are brand new. I'm excited about all this. But yeah.
A Turning Red one even. Yep. That's cool.
So photo themes and locations. So like Tag mentioned, there's the Up House in Town Square, Lady and the Tramp over by Plaza Inn, Mary Poppins the penguins from Mary Poppins near Jolly Holiday. How fitting. There's a Sleeping Beauty throne at the Royal Theater. Luca is going to be over by the Matterhorn bobsleds.
Aladdin will be over by It's Small World. Tangled at the Fantasyland Theater. There's going to be a Mickey's Toontown Picnic near Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. Love Bug's going to be at the Autopia, of course. Little Mermaid is going to be near Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. Together Forever Tombstone at Tiana's Palace. Princess and the Frog Storybook at Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. And finally, it just says Turning Red.
Yeah, it doesn't have a location for that
or
one.
Or what it really is.
Well, and none of these. So we know, like, the Lady and the Tramp one has been a photo op before, same with Tangled. So some of these are returning photo ops. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm curious. I'm very curious. I'm excited. I'm excited to see people's photos and videos. I'm sorry we're building excitement for this event because it is a sold-out event. So if you do not have your tickets already.
The first one happens tonight as we record this.
Oh, so yeah, if you don't have your tickets already, unfortunately, you're going to have to wait until next year. This is, for me, of the After Dark events, this is the, like...
pinnacle?
This is like the underdog event. I have not given this event... credit.
People love it though, and they've added so many more nights.
Look at how like immersive it is, and how many different things are going on. It's popular for good reason. Half of these events and people, you know, this list of entertainment and character meet and greets is about half as big for other Disney After Dark events. So it's not just.
I don't know why they're not doing more for the other ones.
No, I know this one's just jam packed, and this is one that I would have not. Assumed. Yeah, so I think it's great. I really do. Again, something that I'm putting on my Disney bucket list to go experience that if you would have asked me when they first announced this, I would have never said I'd put this up. Like, this was not going to be a must-do for me, but this looks sounds
you realize we'd have to go with our significant others because I am not going to go to this event and have them think we're a couple all night.
I didn't even think about that.
So you're going to have to coerce Vern. I'm going to have to get James. And then, yeah. Because I'm not going to tell people all night long, we're here for Sweethearts Night, but we are not Sweethearts.
No, we are not together.
Oh, you just heard that, James?
My brain didn't even go there, but that's hilarious. That's a good point. The Disney Parks blog has revealed some information on the changes coming to dining in downtown Disney. The biggest news for us is the two-story location for Earl of Sandwich coming in the future. Paseo and Centrico are adding a third option. Tiendita will open later this spring.
So, of course, Earl of Sandwich, I feel like, has been popped all around the dang downtown Disney area. We love it so much. Yeah. So I'm very excited that they said that they're going to have a two-story location.
And there's going to be, like, a bar.
Yeah. So the two-story location is going to have the quick service Earl of Sandwich on the ground level and a table service gastropub on the upstairs section. Mm-hmm. They didn't say specifically where this is going, but it's obviously going to go probably somewhere on that side of the park around the new venue space.
Yeah, yeah. I think also, it's at the back of that complex, I guess.
Can I just say, finally, to Paseo and Centrico and Tiendita, because they've been working on the construction of this for what feels like an eternity.
It feels like it's been a very slow transition, yes.
Also, this is tangentially related because Tiendita... Paseo and Centrico will have menus created by a Michelin star chef Carlos Guitan. So this has been going around the internet, and I never thought of this before. Did you know that the Michelin stars came from the Michelin tire company?
I watched a documentary. This is, again, very unrelated. So,
well, Michelin star chef.
I'm sorry we're taking you on this side journey with us. But I watched a documentary on Netflix, and it featured a Michelin, is three the highest
something, yeah, get?
So it featured a three Michelin star restaurant, and it just panned past their like plaque, their Michelin plaque, and yeah, it's like the Michelin tires, and I was my mind was blown. I was like, it even had the little logo, like the little Michelin man, yeah, on the plaque, and I was just like, I never would have put these two things together.
I never knew that. I don't know what
I thought it was.
It's
it
been going
sense.
Around the internet the last few days.
I wonder if it's
again.
Because of the same documentary.
Oh, maybe, maybe.
It could be. But I'm really excited about this because, as you all heard last week, or maybe it was the week before, we were lamenting that Trader Joe's was closing because what Downtown Joe's. Trader Joe's. Tortilla Joe's. What downtown...
There's a Trader Joe's at Downtown Disney? Wow.
What Downtown Disney is lacking is like affordable...
Yes.
Quick service-y kind of places, or just even affordable, maybe not quick service, affordable places to eat. And Tiendita will, I'm assuming, will be delicious foods, but also hopefully more affordable because it's going to be flavors on the go. It's going to be a quick service Mexican street food location. So I'm hoping that it will, and that would make more sense why Tortilla Joe's couldn't exist with Paseo and Centrico that are going to be a more elevated dining experience.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, I just think these are going to look really great. This building for the Parkside Market, yes, which they also talked a little bit more about, looks gorgeous.
It's very cool.
I think this is... So do you know where this is, by the way? This looks like it's that section, like the new building that they're building.
Yeah, it's like in between where the stage is and where the monorail beam is. It's like that side is what my thought process has been.
Hmm. Because to me, this doesn't have the same...
Unless this is going in the back.
I think so.
And Earl's going to be in the front.
Let me draw this for you because I can't really explain it right now. So here's the stage. I know this doesn't help our listeners, but this will help you. Maybe you can explain it better. So here's the stage. Here's the grass area. Mm-hmm. This is where they're building that big building right now that has like, it kind of has this, but it has multiple of them. I've noticed on David's Fresh Baked thing that it looks like this might be like, oh God, I'm trying this terribly. Like it might be added on to the end as like the new thing that they have the foundations for.
Yeah. So Tag and I were talking about the same spot. So we're thinking it's going to be towards the main walkway of Downtown Disney, probably even facing the main walkway of Downtown Disney and in between where the monorail beam is and where the stage is now. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's an existing large building that they've constructed already. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be in that. They're building a new building next to that like building.
Kind of in front of it.
Yeah. That people, and I think that's where this is going to be. Yeah. So that's what I think.
I am curious though, because then I'm trying to figure what the big building behind it is. Time will tell. We're not going to be able to figure it all out.
Well, it could be, depending on what angle you're looking at this from, that could be, because that seems like it's got the, you know what that is? It's the building that has the fins.
Yeah.
That's what that
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the monorail beam's over here.
Yes.
Okay. Because I was thinking the monorail beam was here.
No. The monorail beam's to the, beam's to the left.
So the stage is like here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We're on the same page. Okay. Cool. Well, if you're a hockey fan or just a fan of the 90s classic, The Mighty Ducks, then you should head over to Disneyland on February 22nd and 23rd. The Anaheim Duck Days will feature cavalcades, activities, and entertainment like meet and greets, special food offerings, and of course, merch.
There's a lot of merch that they're offering for this year. I was kind of surprised. I think I saw spirit jerseys for sure. There were ears. But yeah, this seems like such a fun event. Personally, someone might need to write in and help me understand. There is quite the hype for the Anaheim Ducks. So this must be a really like fun event that locals look forward to. This is not something I would feel the need to travel from the Midwest to experience necessarily, but I think it's fun that they collaborate and celebrate with a local sports team. I also love in the article that we have linked in the show notes, they show that like the Animation Academy gets in on the fun.
Yes.
And you get to draw like duck characters. So like in this photo, they're drawing Darkwing Duck.
Yes.
Which I just think is so fun.
Love Darkwing Duck.
Yes.
I want to say my eyes caught the chocolate mousse cake from Schmoozie's. That looks so good.
I wonder, it looks like it's got wheels on the side. So I wonder if it's supposed to be like a vehicle or if those are just like decorative little buttons.
All I know is the mousse stuff that's in the middle looks like it's the gray stuff almost. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So good. That makes me want to go do it just because of that.
Well, with Valentine's Day coming up soon and Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night coming first one is going on tonight as we record this. There is a new popcorn bucket to celebrate. The new polka dot Valentine Mickey shaped balloon bucket features Mickey and Minnie kissing on the side of a pink bucket in the shape of a Mickey balloon. You can pick one up for yourself for just $18.75.
That's not bad for a popcorn bucket, I think.
I like these like Mickey balloon shaped popcorn buckets, and this one I like the color. It's kind of like a pastel pink, and it's a little silhouette of Mickey and Minnie kissing and kind of doing little heart hands in a like a metallic pink sticker. It's cute.
It's a little pink for me, but I can see why people would like it. It is. I do think that their material choices and paint choices and stuff look really cool. Yeah, I don't need this one, but I do think it looks pretty
cool. It's very cute.
And I thought, you know, priced well, actually. Well, we all know that Imagineers are amazing, creative individuals. Well, recently, Lanny Smoot, a Disney Research Fellow and Imagineer, was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Lanny is only the second person from the Walt Disney Company to have this honor, the first being Walt Disney himself.
Which, I mean, how incredible. So Walt was honored posthumously for the invention of the multiplane camera, but Lanny, I mean, the man has, I think it's over 100 patents of things he's done. He's worked on all sorts of things throughout the resort. Of course, close to my heart is the Madame Leota effect in the Disneyland seance room. But they were showing off some of the things that he's working on currently that are just like mind-blowing, out of this world. Hard to believe I'm like seeing what I'm seeing with my eyes kind of
this
technology.
This floor stuff is cool.
Yes. The floor, what is it? It's like a hollow, what is it called?
Hollow tile.
Yeah, it's a hollow tile floor. So it's basically, it almost is like, think like tiny little like treadmill kind of movements on these little tiles, but you can move any single which way at all. It's incredible. You watch the video in our show notes because it's just, you got to see it to believe it kind of thing.
Well, and the coolest thing too about this is, you know, I've always thought that one thing that would be really difficult down the road is to do, you know, we have all these VR things coming out, like Apple's coming out with their VR thing, Meta has a VR thing, like all these places have VR things. But one of the things that suck about them is you can't actually walk around in a space because like most people's houses are not very big. So you're going to run into a wall or a couch or a TV or something, other people. And this looks like you could have a relatively small room that you could potentially literally walk forever.
Yeah, and in any not direction. Go anywhere. You can and turn and all that stuff. That's just
I
wild.
Think for Star Trek fans out there, I think this is the first step on the way to a holodeck. It's funny they call it the holotile, too. You know what a holodeck is, right? In Star Trek, so they have a room they go into and they can call up any program that has been made into whatever, like they've done Sherlock Holmes and whatever. And you go in and it's like you are in this place and you can enact these stories and there's like virtual people and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, some of the stuff that doesn't solve is they can physically interact with the digital characters just like humans. So like you could touch them and stuff. And so we don't have a solution for that, but the solution for them being in a confined space where they can walk, this does solve. But, I mean, it makes sense it's if you're wild. Thinking about a spaceship, right? Like, if you're on a spaceship for years, potentially, you need to be able to have some place relaxing to go in if you have a holographic environment. From Star Trek is what I'm saying. But this is so cool. It is what got me thinking about this, too, was, man, we think of Disney building theme parks, coming up with cool attractions, making movies and all this stuff. But there's these people that work and invent brand new things in the Disney company like this.
And then it's you know, something that they're going to use in one of their experiences, but it's also something that could be used for so many other things. Yeah, it's incredible. And the thing that's always amazing to me is that these people not only think of the idea, but they can figure out how to make it become a reality. It's just
it's
incredible.
Very cool.
Incredible. Want to support the show as a one-time payment? Well, you can buy us a churro. Head on over to dlweekly.net/churro to support us with your churro purchase. Thank you to all of our listeners who have supported the show in any way possible.
I up, down, touch the ground. I think of things to chew, like honey and milk and chocolate. With a hefty, happy appetite, I'm a hefty, happy poo. A rumbly in my tumbly means it's time for snacks.
Well, this week for Snack Chat, we are going to talk about the Valentine's Day Foodie Guide, which includes a little bit of stuff also from the upcoming Sweethearts Night. I actually went through and did this again where I made a list of things that I was interested in. Do you have a list of things that you are interested in?
No, my list is the Foodie Guide tag.
This sounds like you, for sure.
It does.
Do you want me to go through what I'm... how do you want to do this? Do you want me to go through what I have listed? I have three items.
Do you have three items total?
Total, three items.
Okay. So I'm just going to go through and talk about some of the new stuff that's available. So over in DCA, they're at Clarabelle's hand-scooped ice cream. There is an ice cream Mickey ear hat bowl with Valentine's Day sundae. So it's a chocolate and strawberry ice cream sundae topped with strawberry sauce, whipped cream, chocolate dipped strawberry, and seasonal sprinkles in a waffle cup.
Mm.
How fun. Lamplight has so many delicious... they've got a lot of cocktails over at Lamplight. None of them say they're new, but there's, if you need to sip on something sweet, go over to Lamplight because they've got all sorts of fun stuff. And then hotels, they've got... all sorts of goodies at the Grand Californian cart.
At the cart, yeah.
Yep. Most of the stuff for Valentine's Day is desserts. The things that I was the most excited about are actually Disney After Dark event things, but there is a fried heart-shaped ravioli at Cafe Daisy. I think that's so cute. There's Burning Love beignets at Hungry Bear, which I'm sure must be a little spicy. And then there's also Amordita tacos for Rancho, or over at Rancho del Zocalo. So...
yeah, for me, I actually put down stuff that's in Downtown Disney.
Oh.
So at Beignets Expressed, I thought that the strawberry shortcake glazed beignets sounded good. It's strawberry icing dusted with strawberry sugar served with vanilla bean creme anglaise.
That does, that sound, that that's sounds and it looks really good.
Available now through February 19th. Mm-hmm. At Splitsville Luxury Lanes, which I've never eaten there, of course, the Surf and Turf sounded good. It's an 8-ounce sirloin steak with 6 blackened shrimp served on a bed of creamy mashed potatoes and steamed broccoli. That's only available February 13th through the 15th. And then finally, I also at Splitsville, they had a chicken parmesan, which is linguine pasta with 2 fried chicken parmesan cutlets, topped with marinara sauce and a blanket of shredded mozzarella accompanied with 2 slices of garlic bread. That is also only available February 13th through the 15th.
Okay. Tortilla Joe's, I would 100% go and order these 2 menu items. They have tacos enamorados, which are 3 tacos filled with New York State, white Mexican shrimp, you can have the shrimp tag, queso, avocado, pico de gallo, and salsa. And they also have Cupid's Corazon margarita for 2. So it's a giant margarita for 2, tequila, pomegranate liquor, organic margarita mix, and cranberry juice garnished with sugar and marshmallows, candy hearts, and a cherry.
Well, we're not going to make it to the next Valentine's Day because we're going to die of all of this terrible food.
Who needs a spaghetti strand that you can share with your loved one when you can share...
a margarita?
A Cupid's margarita for 2. I'm just saying.
I suppose. Lots of good options, as always.
Yes, and there's all sorts of fun treats and novelty-type cute treats around the resort, of course, at... our favorite candy locations like Trolley Treats, Marceline's, Bing Bong's, the Candy Palace, Candy Kitchen, and Pooh's Corner that you should check out too. There's strawberry cheesecake apples. There's just a Valentine's apple. There's Conversation Heart cereal treats, heart-shaped cereal treats dipped in color with white chocolate and sanding sugar with white chocolate words. Hmm. Chocolate dipped strawberries, marshmallow mons, cake pops, more cereal treats, more different decorated apples. Yum.
They have a lot of stuff.
Yum.
For
yum, yum.
Sure. Well, you've heard us talk about our great experiences staying at the Howard Johnson Anaheim. Well, if you're going to Sweethearts Night, why don't you book a room at the Howard Johnson? They're great. They're local. We have partnered with them to offer our listeners some cool discounts. Weekly tiers can get 15% off their stay, and Magic Key Holder Weekly tiers get 20% off. To take advantage of these discounts, head on over to dlweekly.net and click on the Howard Johnson logo. Be sure to use the promo codes listed on our website to get the discount that you qualify for. Love staying there. It's funny because I can't imagine staying almost anywhere else at this point. And it was once a bucket list item for me.
Yeah, it's definitely become our home away from home, for sure. It's they're always so kind and welcoming.
The staff is great.
The beds and rooms are always so comfy and clean.
I actually bought one of the pillows that they use. They're the same brand and stuff. Because I emailed one of the people over there and I said, what type of pillows do you use? Because I sleep so well. And I got one for home and it's been wonderful. So, you know, I even want to have a little bit of Howard Johnson when I'm not at the park.
DO Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express. Nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. It should be a fun week for you two, I think. Got some good listener questions mixed
fun in. Fun in a good way or fun in a not good way? Like fun, like treacherous?
Trivia Land is always fun, whether you want a good scare or just a thrill.
Trivia Land's like a box of chocolates. Yes. Yeah.
It's true. You do never know what you're going to get, but hopefully you walk away learning something. Or just feeling really good about yourself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, or feeling really bad about yourself.
No. Wow. No.
Wow.
We gotta keep good feelings now that Snack Chat's around trying to steal some of our real estate. So, so we'll get right into it. And my first question for you is from listener Sarah P., who wants to know, where did Club 33 get its name?
Club 33 got its name because they actually, because he didn't want liquor the like. Since so Royal Street is actually a street in Anaheim, and the address for it was 33 Royal Street.
I'm trying to think if there's something else other than that, like why 33? What
they probably just gave addresses to it and happened to be 33.
Was it something like there were 33? Maybe I'm pulling straws here. Something like there was 33 either like sponsors for opening day Disneyland.
Maybe.
There's something about 33, I think. Maybe it is as simple. I know it's the ad that they needed an address to be able to sell the liquor, but I feel like they picked the address for a reason. I'm going to say, yes, it's the actual address so that they could sell liquor.
Yep. But to not have Disneyland on the liquor license.
Yep. So I'm gonna say that they specifically went with 33 because there was like 33 sponsors for Disneyland.
Okay.
Good description. Let's move on to our second question. True or false?
Oh, easy one.
Yeah.
No, don't say that now.
Well, it's 50-50. If you say true and I say false, one of us gets it right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or you could both get it right or wrong. But my question is, most of the mining equipment in the queue and on the ride of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is authentic.
True.
Was that the question?
It's true or false.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
You know, 50-50 shot.
True.
Tag's too busy looking at the Disneyland encyclopedia, probably for the Club 33
answer. Of course, because you can't be patient enough and just wait like the listeners.
No, I was just curious. I was curious if they're going to do it, but yes. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Okay. I said true.
Yeah. Third question from listener Matt M. In the load in to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, there's a mural on the wall. It has one very prominent signpost, not to be confused with the two smaller ones, that has three arrows pointing in different directions. Each arrow has one word on it. What does each arrow say?
Is it nowhere in particular?
Oh, like nowhere in particular? That's a good one.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to hitch my...
Your motor car?
This is Mr. Toad. Choose wisely.
I'm going to hitch my motor car to your motor car.
I don't know if that's how it works, but we'll go with it. And our last question. In the grand ballroom scene of the Haunted Mansion, there's a giant spider web on the glass. It serves a purpose beyond ambience. Can you tell me what?
Somebody shot it.
Yeah, somebody shot, like, I don't remember what kind of a gun, if it was like a BB gun or a 22 or what, but somebody shot it and the glass shattered. So instead of having the giant pane of glass removed, which they really couldn't do. They just put a spider over it and let it blend in, which really, if you don't know where it is,
yeah,
even times that I like, I know where it is and I'm looking for it, it's done pretty well. It's kind of, it can be hard to miss, or it can be pretty hard to miss.
Yeah.
It can be easy to miss. Easy to miss. Saying.
I can't.
Hard to spot.
Hard to see. Hard to explain. Easy to miss.
Hard, easy. You know, it's all perspective, just like our trivia questions, right?
Apparently.
Yeah. But anyway, like usual, we'll get to our answers. But first, you two have some more stuff to talk about.
Well, for our discussion topic this week, we thought, because we had just gone through and planned what we were going to do for trips and everything this year, which we have never actually sat down and planned an entire year before, but we did this time. We added a bunch of stuff to our calendar, and some of the stuff we added are unofficial Disneyland celebrations, days, different things like that. Ones that you probably are familiar with are things like Dapper Days that you might have heard of. It's along those kind of lines. I'd like to start, though, because we didn't talk about it on the podcast. When are our trips for this year? We talked about it on the stream, but we did not talk about it on the podcast.
Sure. So, yeah. So, this year, if you didn't catch our live stream, for one, go ahead, check it out. It is still available to watch the playback on our YouTube channel. So, youtube.com/DL Weekly. But we did talk about what our trips were going to be, when they're going to be, what our thought process was as to why we chose what we chose. But we'll just kind of give the quick little thing. So this year, we're going to be planning to go out in April for our first trip. And that's going to be to the Disney Anna event. And we just love this event. We're going to talk about it later because it is one that we're highlighting. We have not figured out how long we're staying, though, because there is also Star Wars Nights around that time and some other things happening, too.
Food and Wine Fest, the Season of the Force.
Yeah, so we haven't figured out exactly what the dates are going to be, but for sure we will be there for the Disney Anna event that weekend. Next up.
Next up, we also don't have a firm date yet, but we wanted to go and check out Pixar Fest and one of the Pride Night After Dark events. So that's going to be either the 18th or the 20th. Again, we're not really sure yet. Haven't nailed it down of June, but Pixar Fest will be going on. So we're excited for that. And of course, the big one.
The big one. We are going to be heading out for the D23 Expo this year. Granted that we're able to get tickets and all that fun stuff, but we're really excited to see what the event's going to look like this year, since they are making changes to, not, I don't know if it's the layout, the structure, what you want to call it. They're just doing things differently this year. So we're curious to see how that all works. And then we do have one that's kind of the maybe. We might try and make it out for Dapper Days in the fall, depending on how much time we still have to take off, budget, all that fun stuff. So three trips for sure with one, what do you call that? Yeah, one up in the air. So, and we are going to be planning some weekly tier meetups during those trips as well. We're going to try and get better about planning those well in advance, so all weekly tiers have an opportunity to make sure, to know when it is, if they want to try and make it. So you've got plenty of time to plan for that stuff too. So we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So what's our first unofficial event here?
So the first unofficial event is actually the first one that is happening this year. It is the Gumball Rally, which is put on by our friends over at Mice Chat. So the Gumball Rally returns on February 3rd of this year, and it's basically just a day filled of fun. What is a Gumball Rally, you may say, because the title doesn't really, very obvious what it is. But basically, it's a race, and it's all sorts of teams that get to race around and try and be the team that rides the most Disneyland attractions in a single day. And there's even a fun themed trophy the winning team gets to take home at the end of the fun-filled day as well.
Yeah, some of these are really cool. Some of the old trophies and stuff.
They're very intricate, the trophies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So one of the things that, that's kind of cool about the Gumball Rally, it is an annual event, but each year they kind of switch the rules up a bit. So you can't really, plan or practice or, whatever. So, but the rules aren't fully released until the day of the game. But in general, teams are asked to ride as many attractions as they can in the one day. But to prove that you've done so, there's actually a game book that you're given, and you answer questions in the game book. And there are things that are hard to guess but easy to answer once you know what to look for inside of the ride. So again, each year some of the rules are changed to keep the games fun and to keep like teams on their toes. So like some things that they've done in the past, 2022, no phones were allowed. You couldn't even use your phone for social media, and you definitely couldn't use your phone to be able to utilize the app to figure out and strategize wait times and all that.
Yeah. So some of the other things, too, with the game book is you get points for correct answers. You aren't penalized for leaving blank answers, but if you guess incorrectly, you lose points. So this kind of makes sure that people don't
just guess
at things or whatever. Some years, contestants have been asked to take photos on the rides or take team photos with their lanyards at specific points on the rides to prove they've been on them on that day, those kind of things. So sometimes the rides are weighted differently. It's very complicated, let's just say.
It's very fun, and I think it probably keeps it interesting for the organizers to come up with these different rules to kind of make gameplay different every year. So one thing, too, is 2023, phones were allowed to check wait times and post specific posts to social media, but Genie Plus was banned. You were not allowed to use Genie Plus.
Yeah.
So it's fun. But there's hundreds of Mice Chat spotters and other staff that kind of roam around the park during the Gumball Rally to make sure, you know, they do their best to make sure the teams are all abiding by the rules.
And there's prizes for teams that come closest. The prizes are given to teams with the best team name, the best team logo. There was also a prize for best team costume this year. It just sounds like fun all around. So a bunch of obviously crazed Disney nerds who know about Mice Chat and obviously look up Disney information and stuff. Totally, really cool. The theme this year seems really cool with the
New York's
come
World
to the fair.
Yeah.
So this is definitely on our list of things to eventually do.
Yes.
I think it'd be really awesome.
100%. And like I said, it is a team event. I want to say it's teams of 2 to 4 people. So you can't have like giant teams and it can't be just solo teams. Mm-hmm. But you also have to stick together with your team during the whole thing. So you can't, you know, divide and conquer to do these things too. But yeah, very, very fun.
It's only $25 a person. That's
not bad. And we have one of our weekly tiers is actually volunteered several times for being one of the spotters for the Gumball Rally. And she said that Stephanie just says it's a blast. Even though she's not participating, she still has just a ton of fun being involved and volunteering for the day.
Now, shortly after the Gumball Rally, there's also Villains Day, which will be on Sunday, February 4th.
So the day after.
Yes. So very busy weekend for extra activities happening in the parks. So I don't really know anything about Villains Day. I just clicked on their link. I'm sure that you've looked at this a little bit more than I
have. Yeah, so Villains Day is basically just a fun themed day. So they do a quote-unquote stalk around the park. But they basically, you're encouraged to dress in your evil finest. So there's, you know, Disney bounding as your favorite villains or, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with for dressing. But dressing up is encouraged. They have a group photo in front of the DCA Paradise Garden Park at 11:30. There's going to be event buttons that are distributed before the photo while supplies last, of course. Then after the photo, they all go and ride the Little Mermaid attraction together as a group. Then everyone can kind of go their separate ways. Sleeping Beauty Castle, there's another group photo at 2:30 right after the castle. They all go to ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride together. And then at 4 p.m., they all go ride on the Columbia together as well. So it's kind of a fun group day. There's little mini activities throughout the day. If this is something you're interested, I highly recommend following them either on Facebook or Instagram, because last year during the event, I was seeing, you know, some of the organizers would be like, oh, come, you know, come find me and you win a prize or, you know, fun stuff like that. So they do, I guess, mini games or little mini activities throughout the day that they kind of talk about on social media. The whole event is not everybody together the entire day just because it can draw quite the crowd of people. So that's why they have just a couple of set times for the meetups.
I will say, I was just, while you were explaining this, I was looking through some of the photos from the previous events and these, everybody just does an amazing job. It looks like so much fun. All of these events just seem like they're so much fun. Of course, we alluded to it a little bit earlier that one of the big ones that have been going on for what seems like forever has been Dapper Days. So Dapper Days actually has a spring expo, and then they also have a fall one too, don't they? Yes. Like twice a year. So the Spring Expo is happening this year on April 6th and 7th.
So the expo is actually at the Disneyland Hotel, which has tons of vendors and shopping experiences. There's, I've seen like there's barbers and there's, I mean, tons of stuff. So if you don't already have your Dapper Day finest, you can surely find something at the Dapper Day Expo to be able to wear. And then Sunday, the 7th, is kind of like the official Dapper Day. And that's when everyone takes over the park and everyone is, quote unquote, stepping out in style.
I mean, people dress. If you've seen photos of Disneyland from like when it first opened and people dress up really fancy to go, because it was kind of a, you know, it was an outing to go to Disneyland. It was like a special occasion. People dress like this. And I just love it because sometimes you go to the park and people are, who knows what they're wearing, but it's really cool to see people kind of dressed to their best in this dapper way. Yes.
And Dapper Days is a little bit more relaxed than the Villains Day lineup is. Dapper Days is basically just, you know, dress your best and come enjoy the park together. Mm-hmm. There isn't necessarily group photo times and spots or group photo attraction rides. It's just come and have fun in your Sunday best finest, as they used to do in the old times. I think it's really fun that Dapper Day started because basically somebody wanted to do this and just had this thought of, I wish I could go to Disneyland all dressed up and not have
people be like, what's wrong with you?
Like stick out and have people kind of looking at me weird. So that kind of was the motivation behind creating this event. And it is incredibly popular, and it's super fun. I think it fits so well. Sometimes there's kind of people dress with themes. That doesn't mean you have to. You can just dress however you want. But I've seen people do like Dapper Day outfits that are maybe themed to villains or Disney characters, Disney princesses, even, you know, attractions or lands that they've got their attire going with. But it's just fun.
Yeah. The other thing, if April is a little too soon for you, they also have the fall one. The Dapper Day Expo in the fall is going to be on November 2nd and 3rd. And November 3rd is the fall outing at Disneyland. So that's when everybody will be in the park all dressed
up. They also do have, if you happen to be, Dapper Days is not specific just to Disneyland. They also have events in Walt Disney World. Same thing where there's a spring and a fall event out at Disney World if you want to experience that as well. Well, next up on our fun list is one of our favorites, the Disneyana Fan Club Expo, happening April 20th and 21st this year. Our favorite day, hands down, the expo is great, but hands down our favorite day is the 20th, the Saturday. That's when they have all of the amazing presentations and they give out the Disneyana Fan Club Disney Legacy Award. For the Spring Expo, they're honoring Rebecca Klein, who of course is a Disney historian and the,
better known as Becky Klein.
Oh yes, better known as Becky Klein, but the director of the Walt Disney Archives, and then also Jeff Barnes.
This is always a great event, and like Teresa said, a lot of people come for the show and sale on Sunday, but really, 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 like she said, the first day, if you want to have a D23 like experience with meeting Imagineers and people that made an impact on Disneyland and Disney, that Saturday is the day to go because you get to sit in the same room. A lot of times you can basically walk out and talk to these people without waiting in a huge line or anything like that. They're just like normal people at this place. It's really amazing. And of course, there's the show and sale the next day. So if you're into buying a bunch of Disney memorabilia
tons of stuff,
stickers, our friends were in the park, been there before. There's been just a ton of people that we've made friends with over the time, and they're usually there. There's some really cool guys that paint different droids, so they look super cool and neat. Teresa bought a suitcase full of books when we were there last time.
I bought a lot of stuff there.
I bought a set of A through E tickets, which was really cool.
Yeah, we met, that was where we met Steven from Creative D2R, which he does amazing fan artwork of different Disney characters and Disneyland attractions that we've really enjoyed. We get to hang out and usually see Rick Law, Terry Harden's usually there. It's so fun. So we really enjoy the event on Saturday. And then Sunday, it's fun to walk around and see what's for sale. We've definitely come home with our fair share of goodies, but it's also just fun to kind of reconnect with Disney friends that we've made from the community and that we get to see at these events. Last time we were there, Teg purchased a ticket book, like one of the old paper ticket books. So you never know what you're going to find there. There's all sorts of cool stuff.
Absolutely. So, of course, that's Disneyana. Recommend you go and do all that. By the way, pro tip, become a Disneyana fan club member if you're going to go to this event, because I think that the membership is, let me just double check on their website. It's a $20 membership for 1 year, and you get a big discount on the event tickets for the con that's cheaper than the $20 you're going to spend on the thing. So I would recommend definitely doing that because you save a lot of money that way. The tickets without it are $174. If you're a member, it's $113.
Yeah, and especially if you're like us who tries to go to multiple events a year, it's definitely a good,
definitely
a
worth
great
it.
Savings.
So what's our next day?
So our next day is actually one of our newer to the Disney community fan days. It's Nurses Day at the park, which is put on by Scott the Disneyland Nurse. You may have heard of him or follow him on social media. He's got a really fantastic Disneyland fan page, but he created this event in 2022. He's an RN who just loves Disney and loves Disneyland.
Now, to be clear, he's not a nurse at Disneyland.
Yes, he is. Yeah, his day job and is a nurse, but he's not a nurse at one of the
Disneyland
nurses.
For the longest time, I thought he was a Disneyland nurse.
Gotcha. Okay. But basically, Nurses Day was created as a day for medical professionals to enjoy, especially after, you know, 2 long years of working the pandemic. So the first event was held April 28th, 2022. And that first event, over 600 nurses attended, which is
amazing.
Now, you don't have to be a medical professional to go celebrate nurses and be at this event. You know, anybody is welcome, but it is truly to kind of honor nurses and medical professionals.
I think it's great. I think especially after the pandemic and how much they had to work and everything, I think that's an awesome event. So when is that again? I'm sorry.
The Nurses Day at Disneyland is scheduled for April 27th this year. Now, they do make sure, again, to follow them on social media. For sure, they've got an Instagram page that you need to follow if you're interested in this event. They also, like Villains Day, do have kind of a couple of scheduled events. So there's a scheduled group photo, scheduled attractions, those sorts of things. So make sure you follow them to get in on all the fun. They also have fun Disney Nurses Day at Disneyland themed merchandise that you can buy. There's buttons, there's t-shirts, all sorts of fun.
Well, and rounding out the first half of the year is probably one of the oldest one of these type of events, and they are actually celebrating their 25th year this year. On May 5th, 2024, it will be the 25th anniversary of Bats Day, which is the largest dark subculture event on the West Coast. So if you're into gothic stuff, if you're into Disney, if you're a lot of these people are Nightmare Before Christmas fans, this is the event that you want to sign up for and go to. So again, May 5th, 2024 is when the event is happening. They will do it all in the park. And they say to join us on our annual spooky trip to Disneyland with several opportunities for meetups, photos, and more. No special tickets required, just day ticket or magic key and a reservation. All the gothic happenings will be at Disneyland Park only. Meetups, photo ops, and scream prizes will be available to enjoy. And there's group photo ops as well. There's a giant castle photo that they always take with massive. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that is so many people.
That is a ton of people.
So a great event. I've always seen stuff. Now, I want to say, because I think that they would appreciate this. Some people might look at the gothic people and be kind of intimidated or scared because they look kind of intimidating. But I can tell you from the people I know, they are like the nicest people, and they just have this passion. This is kind of the style they like. And they love things. Obviously, they love Disneyland. And things like Nightmare Before Christmas or the Haunted Mansion.
Spooky things.
And, you know, it's awesome. So if you do go on one of these days and you see people, you know, compliment them on their stuff or whatever, if you want to, don't be afraid. Because I think that when I was in school, I went to school with some people who were into gothic stuff. And I was always like, what is going on there? And then one of my best friends ended up being a goth person. And she's like, oh, it's no big deal. I just like the dress like this, and I like spooky stuff. And I'm like, I like spooky stuff. So there you go.
I would say, you know, for any of these events, you know, it's always kind of intimidating to join an event or a group that is new. You know, that's not something that everybody can do and just, like, dive on in. But really, all of the people that put these events on, all the people that attend these events are just big Disney fans like yourself. You know, maybe it's they're celebrating it through villains or through fancy dress-up days, or they're celebrating medical professional, or they're celebrating the spooky sides of things at Bat's Day. But, you know, these are just, it's all about fun and camaraderie and togetherness and, you know, above all, Disney and happiness. So I highly recommend you check out some of these events. The only two of these events, Gumball Rally and Disneyana, have fees to join. So Gumball Rally, you have the entrance fee to be a part of the fun. And then Disneyana, of course, if you're going to the dinner and the awards ceremony, that part does have a ticketed or ticket price to get in. Same thing. Sometimes they are able to waive the expo charge. It maybe it's like $10. Other times there aren't, but maybe there's parking. But the other days, like Villains Day, Dapper Days, Nurses Day, and Bats Days, you just need your park tickets to enjoy the fun. You don't have to, you know, it's no extra tickets or no extra things to go enjoy those things. Dapper Days, I will say, if you want to go to the expo, sometimes there is a charge to get into the expo area, but to go enjoy the parks as a group is not a charge. So highly recommend doing all of these things. Again, these unofficial events are just put on by fans that really just are passionate about camaraderie and togetherness and just love doing these things. So please go support them. Go have fun at the parks. These are things that are on our radar and our list to eventually at some point make it to each one of these events so that we get to experience them ourselves. So
I'm just looking at some of these photos. They have castle photos and the group photos from every year they've done Bat's Day. And it is amazing to kind of watch. They have a picture from August of 2001 in Toontown. Yeah. That's a blast from the past. But they have one in, this is Tomorrowland?
Tomorrowland, yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I just, there's something about looking at, oh, the 50th when it was under the tarps. That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, great. Great events. We'll have to do another one of these episodes later on this year to cover the second half of the year, because there are some other events that happen on the other side of the year. But
yes.
Teresa went down the thing and was like, there's so many, I had to stop somewhere.
Yes. I'll be sure to check our show notes. All of the information for these events will be located in the links of our show notes. So if you're interested in the Gumball Rally or Nurses Day, all of the links to their websites or their social media pages for sure will be in the show notes so that you're able to learn more and sign up and attend these fun events.
Absolutely.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. The menus can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Well, welcome back to Trivia Land. I am excited to share some good answers with you two. How do you think you did this week?
I don't know.
I'm actually feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
You threw out a lot of quick answers, so...
Yeah, but that's just because people were foolish.
Nah, I felt pretty confident about it.
Okay, well, Teresa's the knowledgeable one.
Well, let's see how it goes. Our first question this week from listener Sarah P. wants to know, where did Club 33 get its name? The answer, and the only correct answer according to D23,
ooh,
is the address of the location of the Disneyland Lounge is 33 Royal Street. None of those other speculation rumors of mouse ears or sponsors are, in fact, true. It is just the address. So, well done. Correct answer for both of you.
Although, I can see why people, like, come up with stuff like that, like the 33 original sponsors.
My thought process, though, is they got to pick. So, why? You know what I mean? Why that number? It could have been any number.
I don't know if they actually got to pick 33 for sure. So.
See, that's I guess I thought they got to pick, so that's why I figured there was...
Sure, something behind
it. Some sort of reason that was that number.
Maybe.
It's like... The crypt thing in New Orleans Square that has a year on it that we have learned from the Imagineer that put the year on it means absolutely nothing.
But everybody wants to make it mean something. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's the Disney way, right? Most things are nods to something else.
It's true.
So they just screw it up by sometimes not having it mean anything.
We think everything's an Easter egg because there's so many Easter eggs. But the Easter egg is, it's not.
You know, when we started, like, everybody makes big deals out of hidden Mickeys, and now here we are making things out of all types of things.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Lots of hidden things. Question number two is true or false. Most of the mining equipment in the queue and on the ride of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is authentic. You both said true, and I agree. Imagine your search swap meets, abandoned mines, and ghost towns throughout places like Wyoming, Nevada, Colorado, and Minnesota to find enough authentic equipment.
Minnesota.
I love that Imagineers always go, like, Joe Rohde went to a bunch of places for, like, Animal Kingdom, like Expedition Everest, to bring all of that stuff. You know, even stuff that's otherworldly, like Galaxy's Edge. They spend so much time going out and finding all these little things that look
like actual real stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that they've fabricated
anything. Is that crazy?
It is. Mm. Well, we were talking with someone at the last Disneyana event, and she is a current Imagineer and was talking about how she was actually in our neck of the woods gathering items for the World of Frozen that just opened. So little parts of the Midwest are now part of Arendelle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little Norwegian towns around here. If anybody's wondering why the Midwest?
I feel like you have to spend a lot of time looking at, like, reference material to get an idea of what that style looks like. And then when you go to, like wherever, you're like, well, this looks like it would belong there. Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a special skill.
All right. Our next question from Matt M was, in the load-in to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, there's a mural on the wall. It has one prominent signpost, two other small ones that we're not interested in today, with three arrows pointing in different directions. There's one word on each arrow. What do they each say? And you gave me the correct answer. Nowhere in particular.
Look at you, Teresa.
Yes.
I feel like you finally learned to just trust that instinct.
Yeah.
Sometimes. She sometimes will trust the instinct.
I'm getting better about trusting the gut instinct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely paying off on that one. And the last one, a Haunted Mansion question. So lots of faith in Teresa for this one. In the grand ballroom scene of the attraction, there's a giant spider web on the glass. It serves a purpose beyond ambience. Do you know what it is? And the correct answer is, it covers a hole. How the hole came to be? I read a ton of stories online of a construction worker shot it, a guest brought a .22 that accidentally shot it, a BB gun, some kid with a slingshot, someone threw a rock. Ultimately, everyone was saying, well, you can't kill a ghost, so what's the point of trying to shoot it or go throw something at it, right? So, yeah, and like you said, Teresa, it's a giant pane of glass. Apparently, the only, like, real way they can get it out is if they took the roof off the building.
Yeah.
So, not happening. So, enjoy the creativity that is that spider web.
So, this brings a question. What if California has earthquakes? What if there was an earthquake and, like, one of those panes shattered? What are they going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just one giant pane, basically. So.
Yeah. Put lots of spiders, a whole family colony of spiders is just going to be hanging out. I don't know. It's survived this long, so...
What, James?
It becomes a screen.
There you go. But yeah, it survived this long. So
It's true.
Yeah. Well, look at you two. A perfect week in Trivia Land.
Woohoo! I don't know if we've had one of those before.
It's been a
while. Not for a while.
So kudos to you two. Hopefully you listeners at home had fun and maybe as much success. You can join in the fun of asking questions with us. Just send producer Vern and I an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.